Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Bharat Hari. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Bharat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Anachari. Yamuna Tira Anachari. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jayadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraja Kachacha Astotra Satya Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Syamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Ganga Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gora Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So before I actually begin, I want to explain to you my format. This Bhagavad Saptaha is like no other. No one will ever do it the way I do it. This is not sense gratification. This is serious study. That's number one. Prabhupada, in general, objected to Bhagavad Saptaha because of several reasons. One reason was the speaker would cater to the sense gratification of the audience. So in order for me to do this, I have to be very, very strict. Now, we may do this every year, and every year we'll do it different. But this first one is going to be very, very scientific. If you look at your sheets, what I have done, I have taken the entire first and second canto and broken it out into subsections. And this is how we will go through the entire 12 cantos. So by Sunday, by the end of Sunday's program, and you can keep the sheets, correct? You can keep the sheets. By the end of the program, at least you will know what is in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the objective. There's not time to go into any kind of detail. We don't have time for that. All we have time for is to go through and see what's in it section by section. All right, with that said, I hope you are all ready. You have serious mood. This is like class, like we always have. Our Bhagavad Gita class is very serious. And there is one devotee in Santiago. She likes that class that we have because it's serious. So, Bhagavatam begins. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Each day, I will begin with an invocation, a verse that I have picked out, which will help you to understand what is Bhagavatam. So this first one for today is actually the second verse of Bhagavatam. The great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva from four original verses, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in the heart. Therefore, there is no need for any other scripture than Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you go to your sheets. So I've entitled this Srimad Bhagavatam Sar, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada entitles the first canto Creation. There are 10 subject matters. We will hear about that tomorrow. So Prabhupada has entitled first canto Creation. So the first part, which is verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1, is a preface, the three essential verses of Bhagavatam. You just heard number 2. The first verse is a description of the Absolute Truth. And the third verse describes how to actually receive it, which was mentioned a little bit. So the first three verses are the preface that sets the stage for the whole Bhagavatam. Next, the remainder of chapter 1. So chapter 1 is divided into two sections. The remaining section, verses 4 through 23, is questions by the sages. The scene is the Naimisharanya forest. This is after the battle of Kurukshetra, after Maharaj Parikshit, all that stuff is going on. the sages have assembled in Naimisharanya to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice for the benefit of the people of Kali. And they have decided that they want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukta Goswami, because he was there when Shukadev spoke Bhagavatam for the first time to Maharaj Parikshit. And we will find out on Sunday that actually Shukadev, before finishing his instructions, he predicts to everybody there that this Sukta Goswami later will speak Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. Okay, in this part, second part of chapter 1, the sages of Naimisharanya, they're headed by Shonaka Rishi, and they have asked Sukta Goswami 6 questions. The most important question of the 6, now that it's Kali Yuga, where will people go for shelter? And the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where people in the age of Kali will get shelter. All right, now we go to chapter 2. Sukta Goswami replies. So he begins to answer the 6 questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. And then in the next part of chapter 2, the science of God. Now you see, some of the sections have stars. So 3 stars means extra, extra, extra important. So this section, entitled The Science of God, 2 stars. So that's a very important section. So then the next part of chapter 2, the personality of Godhead. There is a description by Sukta Goswami of the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Everybody say. All right. And then in chapter 3, it begins with a description of the Purusha, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. They are called the Purusha avatars. Then in the next part of chapter 3, 22 avatars. Now there are 6 different kinds of avatars. Lila avatars, Manvantara avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Shaktiyavesh avatars, Lila avatars. So in these 22 avatars, there's a mixture of all the 6 different kinds. Then we get to a 3-star section. Section 3 of chapter 3. What's it called? Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And that actually, I should have given 4 stars. Because that is the mission statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the line? Let's do it, those of you who know. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Because in the previous section, when he listed 22 avatars, he didn't say whose avatars. So therefore, in this next section, section 3, he finally says, yes, all these avatars are coming from Krishna. He is, as it says here, the original personality of Godhead. Or sometimes it's stated, the source of all other incarnations. As Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Matak parataram nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. Or what he says in chapter 10, everything comes from me. Everything means spiritual and material. Yes, even Radharani comes from Krishna. So everything comes from Krishna. The next part, the last part of chapter 3, Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. So there is this term, book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat, that was the answer to the final question. Where will people go for shelter in the age of Kali? And Sutta Goswami says, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the light. Just like this camera light is right on me. So Bhagavatam is the light in the dense, dark age of Kali. And then the person Bhagavatam is the person whose life is an example of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was another criticism Prabhupada had of what he called professional Bhagavatam reciters, which he had seen plenty of. The professional Bhagavatam reciter didn't really practice what was in the Bhagavatam. So the person Bhagavatam, who you should hear Bhagavatam, has to be somebody who's living, not just... This is like you can have a teacher, right? But the teacher may not necessarily practice what he or she is espousing. But somebody who's going to speak Bhagavatam, that person has to be, as we say, walk the walk, talk the talk. Has to be somebody who's actually doing it. Now we go to chapter 4 of First Canto. Questions of Shaunaka Muni. So it appears he has finished answering the 6 questions. And now Shaunaka Muni has more questions. Because that's how spiritual subject matters are revealed. The students, or the disciples, pose questions to the person Bhagavat. And that person Bhagavat, or Guru, explains the answers to their questions. So, it is going to be revealed, but Bhagavatam is a conversation within a conversation within a conversation, and you can get lost. But I'll help you out. That's why I've gone through the whole Bhagavatam and broken this out. So, the first conversation is the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi and Sutta Goswami. Nobody else, no other conversation has been introduced yet. I'll let you know. So, Shaunaka has some questions in the beginning of chapter 4, and now we get to a nice section. Narada blesses Vyasadeva. This is personally one of my favorite sections of Bhagavatam. So, this section begins in chapter 4, Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction. Now that's significant, because Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas. Vyasadeva compiled 108 Upanishads. He compiled Vedanta Sutra, the Mahabharata, the Puranas. So he has done tremendous work, but one day he wakes up and he's not happy with himself. So that is significant. When a person like Vyasadeva is not happy, that is significant. So what happens? Narada Muni comes at that right moment. And that's significant because Prabhupada advises us, whenever there is a doubt in one's spiritual life, go to Guru. Don't waste your time. We go to 3 things. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Those 3 things should solve all spiritual problems that you will have in your life. Okay. So Vyasadeva has a problem, and then he says to his guru, please find out the root cause of my problem. As it says here, please find out my deficiency. I've done all this literary work. Why am I still dissatisfied? So then in the next part, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narada's response to Vyasadeva is, yes, you compiled all these books, but you forgot to do one thing. You forgot to put Krishna in his proper position, and you forgot to explain that pure devotional service is the actual goal. All these other things, no, you didn't do it properly. For instance, you all know Krishna is there in the Mahabharata, but he's not presented as he is in Srimad Bhagavatam, front and center, and placed in his proper understanding. So Narada gave Vyasadeva lots of instructions how to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, in the next section, Vyasadeva asks Narada a very interesting question. Gurudev, how did you become self-realized? Okay? That's an important question. So, Narada explains his story, how he became self-realized, and then Narada gives his conclusion of all his instructions. He gives the history of his perfection, and then he finishes again wrapping up, telling Vyasadeva, just compile Srimad Bhagavatam, describe Krishna, and describe pure devotional service. So now we go to chapter 7. And the first part of chapter 7, Vyasadeva compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. So that section explains how Vyasadeva went about it. Then, the next part of chapter 7, as I have entitled, Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where the battle of Kurukshetra ends. That's where the next part comes in. This is still Sutta Goswami explaining, but now you could say up to this point, it's all been introductory, setting things up. Now he starts to get into more of some narration. So where does the battle of Kurukshetra end? The killing of the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi by Ashwatthama. And it says here, Arjuna arrests Ashwatthama, because when the Pandavas found out that Ashwatthama had killed their 5 sleeping sons, that was a grievous, heinous, sinful act to kill. First of all, to kill someone in their sleep, anyone. What to speak of 5 young people. I mean, they fought in the battle, but they were young. So they were killed in their sleep. So Arjuna promised Draupadi, I will capture him. And he said, and when I capture him and kill him, you can take your bath standing on his skull. That was Arjuna's promise to Draupadi. Alright? So, Arjuna arrests Ashwatthama, and then Ashwatthama is punished, but he's not killed. Krishna tests him. Because Draupadi, when Arjuna arrested Ashwatthama, Draupadi became compassionate and said, no, I don't want his mother to cry like me. But others, they wanted to kill Ashwatthama. So Krishna was saying to Arjuna, you have to keep your promise to Draupadi, you have to satisfy me. What are you going to do? So what did Arjuna do? He snipped at Ashwatthama, made him look weird, and they let him go. But Ashwatthama was not finished. Okay? So after this, next part, Lord Sri Krishna saves Uttara's embryo. So Uttara, she is pregnant. And in her womb is Parikshit. So, Uttara, she has this Parikshit in her womb. Ashvatthama is not finished, so he sends another Brahmastra to kill Maharaj Parikshit in the womb. But Uttara prays to Krishna at that time. And Uttara's prayer is very significant. Uttara says, "My Lord, this Brahmastra sent by Ashvatthama, let it kill me, but save the child in my womb." So what does Krishna do? He's Krishna as who in the heart? He's Super Soul. So he neutralizes the Brahmastra. And the child in the womb can see Krishna saving him. And that becomes very significant. Because once the child comes out of the womb, he's always looking for that person who saved him in the womb. And that's why he gets the name Parikshit. Parikshit means to examine. He was always looking. Are you the person that... Were you the one that saved me? Were you the one that saved me? Like that. Okay, everybody chant the Maha Mantra.